We're going to be continuing in our series on the parables of Yeshua. Two parables this morning, the fisherman, the net, and the fish, Matthew 13, and the owner of a house with old and new treasures, also Matthew 13. The Lord Yeshua is known for teaching in parables. Why? Several reasons he taught in parables. A parable is a short story that's easy to understand. It's used to explain things that are harder to understand, especially spiritual truths. Parables are interesting. They're easy to remember. Messiah taught in parables to make the truth clear to those who were willing to hear and to make the truth unclear, obscure to those who lacked genuine spiritual interest. Why would Messiah want to hide the truth from those who lacked genuine spiritual interest? For the same reasons he told us not to throw our pearls before swine. Truth is a precious thing. It should be loved and respected and treasured. It should not be treated poorly. And giving too much truth to someone who is not interested in the truth harms that person. He hears the truth, he rejects it, and he digs himself deeper into a deadly hole of rejection and error. And if he persists in rejecting the truth, since he now knows more of the truth and has rejected it, his punishment will be more severe. Because to whom more is given, more is required. So not giving too much truth is a mercy to that person who is not interested in the truth. Let's turn to Matthew 13, starting with verse 47, the fisherman, the net, and the fish. In this world, there have been some great kingdoms, great empires, Babylon, Persia, Greece, Rome, the Mongolian Empire, Spain, France, Britain, the United States. The kingdom of heaven is far greater than all those kingdoms. There have been some great kings in this world: Nebuchadnezzar, Alexander, Caesar, Genghis Khan, Napoleon. The high king of heaven and his son, King Yeshua, are far greater kings than them all. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, has two parts. There's one part that is visible to us, this physical universe, and God rules over this part of the kingdom of heaven. And then there's another part of the kingdom of heaven that is invisible to us. Heaven, that other realm where God rules. However, even those, the part of the kingdom of heaven is invisible to our, even though that part of the kingdom of heaven, which is invisible to our physical eyes, we can still see that part of the kingdom of heaven with the eyes of faith. The two parts of the kingdom of heaven are able to interact with each other. The kingdom of heaven is, of course, governed by God. He governs by using laws and principles that he created. God has his ways of doing things. Now, the Lord Yeshua understood the kingdom of heaven and how it works. And he gave us the parable of the net and the fish and the fishermen to help us understand better how the kingdom of heaven works. For Jewish fishermen, there were good fish and there were bad fish. Fish with fins and scales were good fish. They could be sold and they could be eaten. Fish without fins and scales, like catfish, were bad fish. They could not be sold. They could not be eaten. They weren't kosher. Matthew 13, Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When the net was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw away the bad. This is simple. This is easy to understand. Now for the spiritual truths, which are harder to understand. And we don't have to guess what they are, because the Lord Yeshua told us what those spiritual truths that he wants us to understand are. This is how it will be at the end of the age, or the end of the world. It could be translated either way. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This world will not last forever. It will last until God's plan for it is fulfilled. When God's plan for it is fulfilled, this world will end. Just as the net was full of fish, until it's time for the world to end, many, many people will be born, will live, will die. How many people are alive right now? Something like, what, 7.5 billion people? That's a lot of people. Some people will turn away from their false beliefs and their actions, which displease the living God. They will turn to God. They will believe the right things. They will consistently do the right things. They are the righteous ones. They are useful to God. They are precious to God. They're the good fish, the kosher fish. Some people, most people, will not turn to God. They will not become righteous. They will reject the truth. They will not believe the right things. They will not consistently do the right things. They are not useful to God. They are not precious to him. They are the bad fish. At the time of the end, the good angels who serve God in various ways will come, and they will separate the wicked from the righteous. The righteous are useful and precious to God and will live forever in the kingdom of God with the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and with the good angels. The wicked are useless to God. They will be thrown into Gehenna, hell, the lake of fire. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. They will experience pain, anguish, anger. I believe, according to the degree of sin they have committed, more pain, more anguish, more anger for the more wicked and less for the less wicked. When they have suffered according to their sins, I believe the fire will do to them what fire does, destroys them. What is the purpose of life? It's not having a family, making a lot of money, being successful as the world counts successful. You can do all those things and still be a bad fish. Your life will ultimately be meaningless, and your life, what little of it you have, will end in pain, anguish, and anger. The purpose of life is being a good kosher fish, being a person who is righteous, who knows the truth, who believes the message about the Messiah, who is living according to the truth, who is telling others the truth, who is building up Messiah's community. That person will live forever in the kingdom of God. This is how the kingdom of God works. The next parable. The owner of a house with old and new treasures. Matthew 13 again, verse 52. Just one verse. Every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. Short. I'll read it again. Every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old treasures. A man owns a house. This man likes to collect valuable things, treasures. He has a room in his house to store his treasures. He collected some of his treasures in the past, and he continues to collect treasures, new treasures. When he finds a new treasure, he puts it in the storeroom along with the older treasures. When he finds a new treasure, he does not get rid of his older treasures. And he brings his old and new treasures out of his storeroom to show them to others so they can enjoy his treasures too. This is easy to understand. Now for the truths that are harder to understand. In the time of Yeshua, there were teachers of the law. While they may have focused their teaching on the law, and in its more limited sense, the law means the Torah, the five books of Moses, they didn't just teach the law in that most limited sense, Genesis through Deuteronomy. They taught all of the Bible, the law, the prophets, and the writings. All of the Tanakh, all of the Old Testament can be considered to be the law, the Bible. Now, in the law, the Old Testament, the Tanakh, the Hebrew Scriptures, there are many precious truths. For example, each year when we start a new cycle of the Torah readings, I teach on the first parasha, Bereshit, in the beginning. There are so many treasures in just those first six chapters of the Torah. Here's a few of them. In the very first verse of Genesis, the word Elohim, which is translated as God, is a plural noun and is almost always followed by a singular verb. Plural noun followed by a singular verb. This hints at God's singular yet plural nature. Very first verse of the Bible. God created the heavens and the earth, bringing form and filling to that which was formless and empty by speaking. And God said, This is a hint that the Son of God, who is the Word of God, was the one who did the work of creation. God made man the highest of his creation in his image to rule everything else. He created humanity with two genders and only two genders, male and female. He created the universe and everything in it in six literal 24-hour days. And then on the seventh day, he rested. He blessed the seventh day. He made it special. He made it part of the identity of the chosen people. And he set us an example, resting on the Sabbath, that he wants us to follow. The Lord planted a garden in the east, in Eden. He placed two special trees in the very middle of the garden, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This reveals that there is absolute good and there is absolute evil, and that it's possible to live forever, the tree of life. And the way to live forever is by knowing and choosing good and rejecting evil. And what is the essence of good? Knowing the true God and trusting and obeying him and his word. From the marriage of Adam and Eve, we learn the principles for a successful marriage, which are so desperately needed today. From these first chapters of the law, we learn about Satan's temptation and the fall of man, the catastrophe that took place in the Garden of Eden. We learn about the curse, which explains so much of the world we live in. We read about the first prophecy of redemption through the coming of the seed of the woman, this special human being, the Messiah. We learn about the consequences of the fall. Abel, whose offering had the blood of innocent animals and provided the exchange of life that resulted in atonement, was killed by his brother Cain. We learn about advancements which took place in the arts and the sciences over the next generations. We learn that although mankind advanced technologically, the majority worsened morally and spiritually. We learn about Enoch, who walked with God and who was taken by God to be with him, which reveals that there is another place, another aspect to the kingdom of God, heaven, from which the faithful remnant who walk with God, they will be taken to that place. We learn that the sons of God had sexual relationships with human women, which further corrupted humanity. We learn about the exchange of life principle, that when Adam and Eve sinned, they made garments for themselves out of fig leaves, but they were inadequate, and God killed animals and made garments of skin, providing a temporary covering for them, which was a temporary covering until the final covering made possible by the sacrifice of the Son of God. These are just some of the treasures found in the first six chapters of the law. These truths are so precious, so beneficial, so valuable. What would our understanding be like without these treasures? The teachers of the chosen people had known the law for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, and they were blessed, and they were able to bless others by their knowledge. However, the greatest new revelation accompanied the arrival of the seed of the woman, the Messiah, the Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us. Even more revelation, much greater revelation. Yeshua did not want the teachers of the law who became his disciples to disregard the truths that came before. He wanted the teachers of the law who became his disciples to integrate those truths with him and his teachings. He wanted old and new to be considered one coherent, cohesive book with him as the supreme focus. That's what the parable means. And Yeshua still wants the teachers of today, of his community, to consider the Word of God to be one coherent, cohesive book filled with treasures old and treasures new. We come into this world ignorant and confused. We need knowledge. The greatest knowledge of all is the knowledge of God and his word. One of the leadership positions in Messiah's community is that of teacher. The office of teacher, the leadership position of teacher. God gifts people to be teachers. He equips them, he gifts them to be teachers. It's God's will for us to learn from those God-gifted teachers. Those teachers must integrate the truths from the old along with the truths from the new. The teachers must not go to one of two extremes. They must not disregard the old, which some do, and they must not teach that we are required to keep all of the old, since the old laws were specifically designed for the Jewish people living under the Sinai covenant. There are bad teachers today, especially in the Messianic Jewish movement, who insist that all of us must follow all the laws of the Sinai covenant. They make the same mistakes as those to whom the book of Galatians was written. And one of the weaknesses of Messiah's community today is that many of the teachers rarely bring out those old treasures from the storeroom. They rarely teach from the Old Testament, and they don't try to integrate old and new. In fact, many of today's teachers are hostile to the old. Would it surprise you to hear that the senior pastor of a megachurch in Georgia recently said the following to his large congregation? Quote, first century church leaders unhitched the church from the worldview, value system, and regulations of the Jewish scriptures. Let me read that again. First century church leaders unhitched the church from the worldview, the value system, and regulations of the Jewish scriptures. Wow. And he followed it up with this. Peter, James, Paul elected to unhitch the Christian faith from their Jewish scriptures. And my friends, we must as well. Peter, James, Paul chose to unhitch the Christian faith from the Old Testament, the Jewish scriptures, and we must as well. How about this beauty? Jesus' new covenant, his covenant with the nations, his covenant with you, his covenant with us, can stand on its own two nail-scarred resurrection feet. It does not need propping up by the Jewish scriptures. Wow, that is really horrible. This is the senior pastor of a megachurch who's on TV frequently, and this is his attitude towards the old treasures. Completely disregard them, ignore them. Let's unhitch ourselves from them. Because that's what Peter, James, and Paul did. Every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. Pretty clear to me what that means. Here at Shema, we are committed to be those teachers of the law who bring out from the storeroom old and new treasures to be enjoyed by everyone. We never want to be legalists, focusing on the old treasures and insisting that everyone is obligated to observe all of the old laws. That's wrong. And we never want to ignore the old treasures, disregard them, or be actively hostile to them like many are today. Every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. Amen. Today is the first Shabbat, the first Sabbath of the